I'll be reading this scripture for the morning, which is taken from Matthew 5, verses 1 to 12 from the New Revised Standard Version. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way, they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit will empower Randy as he delivers your message to us. Amen.
Thank you, ma'am, for reading that scripture for us this morning. If you remember back to the late 1960s, I certainly can't, but I'm told that in some Mennonite congregations in the late 1960s, from the pulpit, they were encouraging their church members not to vote for President Kennedy. Now, can anybody imagine why people wouldn't want President Kennedy to be our next president? Nailed it. He's Catholic. And certainly in a Mennonite church, we couldn't have a Catholic president. This is All Saints Sunday, and we've come a long way since the late 1960s. And All Saints Sunday originated in the Catholic Church. And the day was set aside as a day to remember the saints, known and unknown. And if you know anything about Catholic theology and how they understood saints, there's a belief that there's a prayerful spiritual bond between those in heaven and those who are living. Now, some of us, that might be a little bit uncomfortable how we think about sainthood. And I think as Anabaptists, we have some different theology there, and that's certainly okay. But I'm reminded of some words from Alan and Eleanor Kreider, who are taught at Anabaptist Mennonite Biblical Seminary. And these are the words that they say: "Catholic spiritual practices and sacramental theology can strengthen our Mennonite commitment to peace and discipleship." And so I see celebrating something like All Saints Day as a way to appreciate the Catholic Church, and then also to say, well, what does it mean for us as Anabaptists to celebrate a day like this, even if we don't share all of the theology of what it means to be a saint? How can it strengthen our commitments to peace and discipleship? And so this morning on All Saints Sunday, which, if you don't know, All Saints Sunday is celebrated around the world this morning in many different denominations. How can we this morning ask, what does it mean to be a saint? What does it mean to be a child of God? And some of you might be asking, well, then what does Matthew 5 and the Beatitudes have to do with All Saints Sunday? That's a good question. I think this is actually a really great text. This is a text out of the lectionary this morning. And so let's dig into this a little bit. Matthew chapter 5. This is the Beatitudes. This is well known within the Mennonite church as part of the Sermon on the Mount, which we put a lot of emphasis on as Mennonites. This is Matthew's version of the Sermon on the Mount. And of course, we know Matthew is... Well, no, of course, we know. Matthew is really concerned with his Jewish audience and making connections to the old, to the people of Israel. That's one of Matthew's really important things as he's writing this book. And so, as you think about the Sermon on the Mount, who, what is he referring to in the Old Testament? The Mount represents Mount Sinai, and Jesus is the new Moses. This is, just like Moses gave the Ten Commandments on Sinai, this is Jesus now on the Mount. And Matthew's audience would have connected with that. And so probably what they would have expected when Jesus gets up on the mountain and starts to deliver this sermon is that they're going to have some kind of form of the Ten Commandments. You shall do this. You shall do this. You shall not do this. But that's not what Jesus does. That's not the way Jesus frames this section on the Beatitudes. It's not a list of do's and don'ts. The Beatitudes and the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew is framed as blessing. It's framed as blessing. And I think that's important this morning as we think about who Jesus is and who he's calling us to be. This word for blessing can mean like contentment or happiness or just like life in general. It's just fulfilled, abundant life is what this blessing can represent. And so Jesus is saying, these aren't these things of being meek or hunger and thirsting for righteousness. These aren't so much things that you need to do or you shall do this. It's more like this is where there's life. This is where there's abundant life and blessing. Sometimes the word blessed is a little bit hard to understand in our society, I think. And especially the church, too, where there's a lot of talk about prosperity gospel, and God will bless you with a great home and lots of money and a successful business. And this isn't what blessing means, I think, in this text this morning. It's blessed in a sense of this is where there's fulfillment in life, where you are, where you know God fully and what the God's kingdom is like. So let's think about that kind of blessing this morning. There's also a difference in the Greek here. This isn't an imperative. In the Greek, the imperative means command, like absolutely do this. But rather, it's in the indicative, which means it's descriptive of what the kingdom of God looks like. It's not prescriptive in saying you need to do these things in order to be in the kingdom, but rather it's descriptive of what the kingdom looks like. And then God, and then Jesus is saying, this is what the kingdom is. The kingdom is about being poor in spirit, about being meek. It's about being peacemakers. That's what the kingdom is. And you're blessed when you look towards that kingdom. Some say that this is Jesus giving a description of how it will be in the kingdom of God. It's almost eschatological. That's a fancy word for saying it's where history is moving towards when everything will be right in God's grand vision of how the world should be. This is reality in the kingdom of God. And yet this morning as I read this list of what the kingdom looks like, it seems somewhat upside down to what our society says we are today. It seems like we're living in a different kind of reality, almost. Often today, the meek don't get the land, but the meek often have worthless beads that don't show for much. if you mourn, it might be tolerated for a little bit, and we comfort them for a little bit, but then eventually we say, well, you know, get over it, move on with life. There's a time for mourning. The pure in heart are sometimes seen as hopelessly naive. And peacemakers risk having their patriotism called into question. More like reality in at least Western culture is that blessed are the well-educated, for you will get a good job. Blessed are those who are well-connected socially and have lots of friends, for they will not go unnoticed. Blessed are you when you know exactly what you want and you work really hard to get there, and you pursue the American dream, because God will help those who help themselves. It's a bit of a different upside down way in the Beatitudes here. In America, where we say, God bless America so often. I mean, that's just something that comes through so much. And our president says it every time he ends a talk. God bless you, and God bless the United States of America. What does the president mean when they says bless America? To which of these blessings do we see in our when the president says that? Because oftentimes when we say God bless America, we're looking for optimism and hope and work hard, not mourning or confidence. Not poverty of spirit. Abundance, not hungering and thirsting. Retribution, if someone has done wrong to us, and justice, not peacemakers all the time. So where is this reality that God is talking about? Where is the kingdom of God here? Well, it's certainly not fully realized yet. But we do see the kingdom of God fully in who Jesus was and in Jesus' life. And I'm reminded of the Christ hymn in Philippians. And I think of like Christ's humility and going to the cross and suffering and mourning on the way to the cross. I mean, some of these things that we see in the Beatitudes of what Jesus is saying, Jesus embodied himself by going to the cross. So I'm going to read the Christ hymn here. This is out of Philippians chapter 2, start in verse 5. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness, and being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And so when we ask, you know, where is this reality? Well, we see that reality in Jesus. And then we take the next step and we say, okay, so we're the church and we're the body of Christ. And so then how are we in our living together trying to make that reality of who Jesus was be made known in our own lives and our own communities as Christ's body? And this is All Saints Sunday. And I thought, you know, what if one way that we remember, again, what this reality of the kingdom looks like in the midst of such an upside-down time when it seems like our societies does not value these very things? How are we reminded, again, of what the kingdom looks like? And this is All Saints Sunday. Maybe one of the ways that we are reminded of what this kingdom looks like and how we live in a way that makes this kingdom known is by remembering those who have gone before us and lived in a way, even in the midst of their brokenness and stumbling and not getting it right always, still lived these things out in their lives. As I was reading through these different things, I thought about, you know, what if we put faces to these? What if we put faces to these lines? So I'm going to read through them, and I would encourage us to put faces of people that have passed away that have taught us these things. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you. This morning, I thought we could do a practice of candle lighting. Many churches do this, where we actually light a candle for someone that we want to remember that's passed away. And oftentimes it's someone that's died in the last year, but I don't think that that needs to be a stipulation on lighting candles. I think you can light a candle for anybody that you want to remember. And specifically, as we light this candle for them, someone who's demonstrated, even in their brokenness, and really this is everybody, I think, of what the kingdom looks like, and have taught us things along the way. One person that I think we should name this morning, who's recently passed away, who was a real leader in the Mennonite church, was Marcus Smucker. I did not know Marcus personally, but he was well known in the seminary communities, and he's really done a lot of work in our Mennonite church right here in the Lancaster Conference on reconciliation. And oftentimes when there was conflict, which conflict is a part of every denomination or church, conflict's not a bad thing, but sometimes we do need mediators to come in. Marcus Smucker was someone that was well known for the way he could come in and listen to people's stories and encourage people to tell their stories. And Marcus passed away this past week. He was a member at East Chestnut Street Mennonite. So I'm gonna light a candle for Marcus. And I think he demonstrated, blessed are the peacemakers, and many other ones here. If you feel comfortable, come and light a candle for someone. And we'll have some music playing. I'm also going to light this candle, and this will represent Christ's presence. I think it's important to remember, and I think Catholic theology does this well, in that God's presence goes with us and is present with us always. And this is a symbol of Christ's presence with us as we remember others who have passed away and are with Christ now. Feel free to use this lighter if you would also like to just take the candle and light it with one that's already burning. You may do that as well. So let's come in a prayerful spirit of remembering and putting faces to the blessed. We're now going to do a call and response as a way to have another kind of response for us. Lord God, by your grace, we are running a race.
We are surrounded by a cloud of witnesses.
Patriarchs, matriarchs, prophets and psalmists, disciples and evangelists, martyrs and saints.
We thank you for their example. We praise you for their lives of faith. For all your saints, O Lord, you strove and you to live. Broken people who follow, obey, stumble, adore you.
Loved ones, now resting in you, who guided us, nurtured and cared for us, ancestors who worked and traveled, lived and died, that we might be who we are, where we are, your people in this community of believers. We thank you for their example. We praise you for their lives of faith. For all your people, O Lord, accept our thankful praise. Amen.